Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 6, Purusha Sukta confirmed, text number 17. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Adishnam Pratapam Prano. Vahishta Pratapatyaso.
Vahishta Pratapatyaso.
Evam Virajam Pratapam.
Evam Virajam
Pratapam. Tapatyantar Bahi Puman. Svadishnam. Radiation. Pratapam. By expansion.
Prana.
Living energy.
Bahi.
External.
Cha.
Also.
Patapati.
Illuminated.
Aso.
The sun.
Evam.
In the same way.
Virajam.
The universal form.
Pratapam.
By expansion of
Tapati,
enlivens. Anta, internally.
Bahi,
externally.
Puman,
the personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The sun illuminates both internally and externally by expanding its radiation. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by expanding His universal form, maintains everything in the creation, both internally and externally. Purport. The universal form of the Lord, or the impersonal feature of the Lord, known as the Brahma-dhoti, is clearly explained here and compared to the radiation of the sun. The sunshine may expand all over the universe, but the source of the sunshine, namely the sun planet, or the deity known as Surya Narayan, is the basis of such radiation. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is the basis of the impersonal Brahma-dhoti radiation, or the impersonal feature of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:27. So, the universal form of the Lord is the secondary imagination of the impersonal form of the Lord, but the primary form of the Lord is Shyamasundara, with two hands playing on His eternal flute. 75% of the expansive radiation of the Lord is manifested in the spiritual sky, Sripad Vibhuti, and 25% of His personal radiation comprehends the entire expansion of the material universes. This is also explained and stated in the Bhagavad Gita 10:42. Thus, the 75% expansion of His radiation is called His internal energy, whereas the 25% expansion is called the external energy of the Lord. The living entities who are residents of the spiritual as well as the material expansions are His marginal energy, the tasta shakti, and they are not at liberty to live in, and they are at liberty to live in either of the energies, external or internal. Those who live within the spiritual expansion of the Lord are called liberated souls, whereas the residents of the external expansion are called the conditioned souls. One can just make an estimate of the number of the residents of the internal expansion in comparison with the number of residents in the external energy, and may easily conclude that the liberated souls are far more numerous than the conditioned souls. So one may think that I don't want to really openly practice Krishna consciousness, you know, the external things, the sika, the shaved head, Tilak, a dhoti, because people think I'm weird. I want to do what, you know, is accepted, commonly accepted. I want to kind of blend in and do what's commonly accepted in the world. But actually, your perspective is wrong, because what's commonly accepted is Krishna consciousness. It's only a few weirdos who don't accept Krishna consciousness. It's confirmed in today's purport. And it's further confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, where it is stated, O Rishikesha, Arjuna is speaking to Krishna. He says, O Rishikesha, the whole world becomes joyful by hearing your name, by hearing the recitation of your name, except for the demons who go running here and there. So these demons, they are a minority, actually. They're an insignificant minority compared to the vast number of liberated souls who are eternally engaged in the service of Krishna. Just like here in Australia, for example. What is the percentage of citizens living in the prison and outside of the prison? You have more Aussies behind bars or more Aussies outside the bars? Mostly they live outside the bars, you see. Only a few criminals are behind the bars, you see. So, the materialists, they are all behind the bars. And they're a minority. So why should I think, well, I have to please the... I have to live in such a way that the inmates of the prison are like me and satisfied with me. Why do you have to worry about satisfying the inmates of the prison? Why we should think like that? I don't want to be considered weird or strange or different. Actually, the town that I come from, Austin, Texas, they have a saying there. It said, keep Austin weird. In other words, in Austin, it's considered very cool to be weird. So we feel right at home there in Austin. We're distributing, because being a devotee is considered weird in the material world. So in Austin, we feel very at home, because it's supposed to be weird if you're in Austin. But actually, the Prabhupada has analyzed it very nicely. He states, he has an essay he wrote in the early days of ISKCON called Who is Crazy? They say that we are crazy, and they say we are crazy, and we say they are crazy. Who's actually crazy? You see, we have to analyze. Who's the nuts here? Who's the crazy nuts? So if you analyze, what is the result of serving your senses for your whole life, being a very dedicated servant of your senses? What is the result? Old age, disease, and death is the result. Now let's say you got a job at some company, and their retirement plan for you was, at any time, they give you a little pink slip and they take you out back and they shoot you and throw your body in the dumpster. Would you like to work for such a company? They give very nice perks up front. You know, you get a nice sports car, you get a nice girlfriend, you get all these facilities. But at any time they give you a little pink slip, it's your turn, they take you out back, they shoot you and throw your body in the dumpster. At any time. Could be the first day on the job, the second day, 10 years, you never know what's going to happen. It's just like everybody knows when you get that pink slip, it's all over and they shoot you and throw your body in the dumpster. Would you like to work for that company? Well, that's what we're working for right now by serving these senses. We're the very dedicated servants of our senses, and that's who we're working for. A boss who will at any time say, okay, get out now. Kill that body and get up at any time. So it's better to work for a company that They may not give all the flashy perks up front, but they give the long-term benefits, you see, better to work them. Just like it's stated in Bhagavad Gita, happiness in the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. Happiness in the mode of goodness, you see, is poison in the beginning and nectar in the end. So it's better to get the long, do some austerities, take some, you could say, poison in the beginning to get the long-term nectar, then to get some quick nectar and then have long-term poison. You see what I'm saying? See the difference? But actually that poison isn't so bad, getting up early for Mangalarti. It's actually pretty ecstatic. You know, giving up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. It may seem like poison to materialists, but actually it's nectar. It's actually nectar. Krishna consciousness is actually transcendental to the mode of goodness. Krishna consciousness is nectar in the beginning and even more nectar in the end. That is Krishna consciousness. So whether you're in the mode of goodness, you're experiencing it as poison in the beginning and nectar in the end, or you're in the transcendental goodness as nectar in the beginning and nectar in the end. In either case, you get nectar in the end. So whether I find it's an austerity to practice Krishna consciousness, I find it's the sweetest nectar to practice Krishna consciousness, in either case, I should practice Krishna consciousness. Whether it's easy or whether it's difficult, I should practice Krishna consciousness because that is going to give me unlimited nectar in the end, either way. As Prabhupada points out, we are, indeed the living entities are tatastha shakti. Tata means border and sta means situated. So we have a consciousness which is a borderish, you could say, consciousness that can go either way at any time. It's not that there's a third world between the spiritual and material world, it's called the Tathasta world. A border has no actually thickness, you see. Someone says, I live on the border between, you know, India and Pakistan. Well, how thin do you have to be to actually live on the border? And to actually be situated simply on the border? The border actually has technically no thickness whatsoever. It has length, but it doesn't have width at all. A borderline has no actual width. So you can't actually live in the border. You live on either one side or the other, maybe, you know, 1 foot on one side, 1 foot on the other. But you can't actually live in the border. You're either on one side of the border or the other side of the border. So we have the ability to flip between the spiritual and material existences. So the tathasta doesn't mean that we have some third world we live in, the tathasta world between the spiritual and material world. It means we have the tendency, the nature that can go either way. We have a borderline consciousness which can go either way. Although we are actually citizens of the spiritual world, our actual constitutional position is to be in residence of the spiritual world, but we have a borderline consciousness which can allow us to disobey the Supreme and end up in the material world. Just like here in Australia, you can choose to be a law-abiding citizen or you can choose to be a criminal. Everybody here in Australia has the free choice. Do you want to be a criminal or do you want to be a free citizen? You see. So as a free citizen, you live outside the prison. You're given so many facilities by the government. And if you choose to be a criminal, you live inside the prison. So that we are tathasta shakti doesn't mean that we came from some other place, that we did not come from the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada confirms in his books that we were originally in the pastimes of Krishna. Some people say, well, we came from the tathasta region. There is actually no space there that you can live in. It's a consciousness, actually, a borderline consciousness that can flip either way. So we actually originally in the spiritual world, the being envious of Krishna, as Prabhupada explains, fell down into this material existence. So in this material existence, if we take advantage of the Vedic wisdom, if we take advantage of bona fide spiritual masters, if we take advantage of bona fide Vaishnavas, then we can get proper guidance, inspiration, training, and blessings how to become reestablished in our original home. Therefore, we say back to home, you see, because that is our home. We're actually residents of the spiritual world. But now we have deviated and we're in the prison. But we become rectified, we come back to our original position in the spiritual world. So I can ask now if there's any questions. We've got a few here. Wow, look at it. If we do kirtan for Krishna, will Krishna accept it? Or do we have to do chanting? Chanting is kirtan. Japa is kirtan, and kirtan is kirtan. Even this Bhagavatam class, this is also kirtan. The acharya of kirtan is Shukadeva Goswami, and he was speaking the Bhagavatam. That's considered kirtan. Most of the ISKCON Maharajas are critical of modern education. My question is whether Gurukula system can produce engineers, doctors, and accountants. Well, the classic example is our Ravi Gupta, who was trained. His mother kept him at home. He learned how, she didn't send him for the public education. This is in Boise, Idaho. She kept her son at home. She homeschooled him all the way through high school graduation at home. Instead of learning from some mundane book how to read, the child learned how to read by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. At the age 13, he entered the university and he excelled in the university. He went to Oxford and got a PhD in Oxford University. And he didn't go through the quote, modern education until he went to the university. So don't think that, you know, being trained in a Krishna conscious atmosphere doesn't mean that you cannot become an engineer, a doctor, and an accountant. Ravi Gupta is the proof. I have a habit of showing off to other devotees how great I am. What should be the best mood to deal with praise when it comes after doing some service? Give all credit to your spiritual master. That's what Prabhupada always did. How do we define Krishna consciousness? It's a Sanskrit word, actually. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. It means to be absorbed in the mellows of loving devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness. Why spiritual practice is so difficult and material life is so easy? Because your determination is not strong. If your determination is strong, then spiritual practice becomes very easy. We are supposed to offer food with love and devotion, but I offer food only because I need to. I've been asked to. The conscience says I have to eat this, better quickly offer it so I can eat it. What is the value of such an offering? Well, it's better to do that than to just not offer at all, because then you feel guilty. You were rushing the offering too much, and gradually you'll improve your standard. At least, you know, in the beginning, whatever you like to eat, offer to Krishna. You see, then when you become mature, I give Krishna whatever he likes to eat, and I accept whatever he likes. That's the advanced stage. Due to some previous reactions from past life, I have a strong tendency to decorate and take care of my body like females do. Maybe this is a male speaking. Please help me understand how to come out of it. Well, put on your tilak very nicely, Prabhu. That'll help you get out of it. Just focus on putting on very first class tilak and you'll be okay. Chant Hare Krishna. If I choose a guru, I need to hear the same guru's lectures and kirtans, or I can hear any Maharaj's lectures and kirtans. My English skills not good. I did not hear one lecture. I heard others' lectures. One can, even if your English skills are not good, by hearing the lecture you will advance, and actually you will, by gradually your English skills will become good by hearing the lecture. So you don't have to worry about language. You have to see when you how Krishna inspires you. That's it. I mean, Prabhupada's accent, if I thought like that, then how I could take Prabhupada as my spiritual master? His English was rather hard to understand in the beginning, I'll be honest. It was hard to make out what he was saying in the beginning. But by hearing him and hearing him, then I learned how to hear and understand everything he was saying. So it's not that you have to have somebody who is from the same country you're from, or the same part of India. It has to be a Gujarati, you know. I mean, this is bodily consciousness. You should find that spiritual master who actually answers all of your questions, defeats all of your doubts. How do we move from the selfish position of becoming a devotee to break from the cycle of birth and death to wanting to serve Krishna selflessly? Well, it's okay to be selfish, because Prabhupada says becoming Krishna conscious is the highest self-interest of a living being. So to be selfish in that way is very good. My highest self-interest is surrender to Krishna. So therefore, in other words, becoming purely selfless is my highest self-interest. So it's called selfless selfishness. Living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. At the same time, they are eternally separated, but in some point of time, they should have been separated from Krishna. No, we are eternally Krishna's separated expansion. It's not that we were ever merged in Krishna and we came out of him. We're eternally emanating from him as separated expansion. Please show tips for quick advancement in spiritual life. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Maharaj, my heart is having millions of fears. I want to always be grateful to the Vaishnavas for all their mercy and help I receive. What should be my prayer to the Lord? Krishna, please bless me, that I can serve Prabhupada's mission in the best possible way, because all this mercy we're getting from all the Vaishnavas, it's all coming from Prabhupada. So just pray to Prabhupada, my dear Srila Prabhupada, how can I eternally serve your mission in the best possible manner? And that's how you can reciprocate. That will perfectly put you in a position of perfectly reciprocating with all of this love and mercy that's coming. Why do we doubt Krishna? What actually stops us from surrendering to Krishna? Bad association. You see. Therefore, give up the association of non-devotees and pack yourself up tightly in the association of devotees. How to prevent from committing Vaishnava aparadha? Worship the Vaishnavas within your externally and within your heart. Always offer your obeisances to Vaishnavas. We feel in a different world when hearing your answers to our questions. What is the secret to answering our questions nicely? Is the super soul helping you, or is it your purity? Well, first of all, I don't have any purity. I'm a contaminated rascal, but somehow Prabhupada asked me to be his messenger boy, and I'm just honestly, sincerely giving you what Prabhupada is giving me. Prabhupada answered so many of my questions. He tolerated my questions, even though he had so much work to do, did his translation work. He allowed me to write him letters and ask questions. Even if I had an urgent need, he told me it was okay. Even though there was a policy in ISKCON, no one can write Prabhupada except for the sannyasis, GVCs, and temple presidents. Prabhupada told me I could do it if I had an urgent need. He personally told me. So, because Prabhupada was so kind answering my questions, therefore I have to do everything I can to answer your questions. And as I have learned from Prabhupada what the answers are. How to stop a bad habit, replace it with a good habit. What is the importance of reading Srimad Bhagavatam? It's a matter of life and death. You read Bhagavatam, you get eternal life. If you don't read it, eternal death. Take your choice. What is your favorite Bhagavad Gita verse? Yan yada tarati shrestas tattadeve tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastandana vartate. Whatever a great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So, if you want to make a revolution on this planet to bring happiness to all the people, become a pure devotee. I like that verse. Whatever you can influence the whole world just by your example. What should be our New Year resolution? Save the world. Let's save the world this year. Let's make that our goal for 2000. For this year, we're going to save the whole world. We're going to make everyone Krishna conscious. Are we not responsible for the results of our activities? Sure you are. If we do bad, you get bad. Yes, you do. How important it is to wear kanti mala, neck beads. These are the insignia. When one gets initiated, one is given three strands of neck beads. So it's actually very important to follow the Vaishnava tradition of wearing kanti mala, tilak, sika, etc. Because this is our instruction coming from our acharyas. Kanti mala means I'm subordinate to my authorities. I'm following my authorities. I'm not independent. So it's a very important thing. Yes, we're offering ourselves as servants of Krishna. Just like you put tulsi on the prep, we put tulsi beads on our neck. I'm offering myself to you. How to maintain a balance between the spiritual life and material life? It's very simple. To offer everything to Krishna and you'll be perfectly balanced. Sometimes you do not go alone well with your brothers and sisters and work co-mates do the following strictly regulated principles, like not eating onions and garlic. You feel isolated. Well, I don't. You know, You should be happy to be isolated from these people. You shouldn't think, oh, I have to be with all these onion and garlic eaters. You know, I go by McDonald's. I'm not sitting there with all the people at McDonald's chomping down on a double cheeseburger. I feel really left out because I'm not sitting there at McDonald's chomping down with all the other hamburger eaters. No, you have to be detached from this stuff. You know, I go by the football stadium, everybody's cheers, 30,000 people cheering for the soccer team, and here I am out here chanting my beads, feeling like I left out, I'm not enjoying the soccer game with 30,000 people. I mean, you have to have faith that Krishna consciousness is better than all this garbage. You have to have faith. You have to be convinced that there's no happiness outside of Krishna consciousness. And then you'll have no trouble. You'll feel sorry for them instead of feeling sorry for yourself. I don't get to eat onions and garlic with my family members. You'll feel sorry for them, those poor fools. They're eating food which is forbidden in the Manusmriti. The Manusmriti says onions and garlic are not suitable for eating. These poor family members, they're violating the Manusmriti and just remaining in the darkness of ignorance. You should feel sorry for their loneliness. How to stop the pendulum of bhoga tyag, surrender to Krishna. If family is not favorable, how much involvement should one have? Make them favorable. That should be your involvement. How can I elevate these people? Give them prasadam, invite them to the temple. You know, that should be, your involvement should be how I can make them favorable. I have a work that constantly bombards one with all the material elements, like fashion, music, songs, opposite sex, beauty, etc. What should I do to make sure it won't hinder my advancement? Well, can you wear earphones while you're working? If they're bombarding you with music in the workplace, maybe you can just put on your earphones and and have your own version of the music. If they allow music in the workplace while you're working, maybe you can put on your own music with headphones. And instead of looking at all the beautiful girls walking around the office half naked, you can have a Krishna there on your cubicle. Oh, wow. Who cares about these beautiful girls? Look how beautiful. Krishna is more beautiful than any beautiful girl, you see. In this way, you have to have something better, you see. I can't quit my work and I love clothes. Well, you wear a dhoti? Do you love your dhoti? Actually, I love dhotis and kurtas. You wouldn't catch me wearing anything else? Except when I go into China, I have to dress a little bit across the border. Actually, we love our Vaishnava dress, you see. There's nothing wrong with liking Vaishnava clothing. So instead of being attached to blue jeans, become attached to wearing a dhoti or a sari. How does a spiritual master pass on transcendental knowledge if he's not always physically present? He reasons ill who tell that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound and living, try to spread the holy name around. And the spiritual masters are eternally blessing us by their divine potency. If one becomes completely purified, you can actually hear Srila Prabhupada speaking to you within your heart. So it's not that they're dead and gone. These great acharyas are eternally living and they're eternally acting to deliver all conditioned souls from their entanglement in the material energy. How does a spiritual master guide the disciple if the disciple physically passes away before the spiritual master? The spiritual master doesn't depend on his physical presence to enlighten the disciple. There's something beyond the physical. Spiritual master can be in many places at once, actually. When I speak to Christians and we discuss philosophy, they ask, what proof is there of reincarnation? They say it's just a belief. Well, ask them, where is your baby body? Where is the body you have when you're a baby? Is it still here or is it gone? But you're still here. There's the reincarnation right there. Actually, just like a river, for example. In the U.S., we have a big, big river called the Mississippi. And it's fed, there's two rivers that feed into it, the Ohio River and the Missouri River. And then that Gulf Mississippi River dumps into the Gulf of Mexico as it flows south. So those water molecules that are flowing down the Mississippi, what are they? Are they Mississippi molecules? Are they, perhaps they're Ohio or Missouri molecules, water molecules? Because they were molecules, water molecules in the Ohio River. Today they're in the Mississippi. Tomorrow they'll be in the Gulf of Mexico. So what is the actual identity of those water molecules? Let's see. Today we call it Ohio River. Tomorrow we call it Mississippi. Day after tomorrow we call it the Gulf of Mexico, but it's all the same water molecules in different locations. So in a similar way, this body that you call yours is a conglomeration of molecules that is in constant flowing. It's constantly in flux. So what you consider to be your body today was actually part of somebody else's body yesterday. and it'll be part of somebody else's body tomorrow as you inhale, as you exhale, as you eat, as you go to the toilet room. There's this constant flow of molecules in and out of your... They're clustering around the Atma, the soul, you see. Even as we sit here in this room, you know, I'm exhaling, you're inhaling, I'm inhaling, you're... We're changing molecules, we're switching molecules with each other even while we're sitting here in the room together. We're trading bodies with each other, you see. Even as we sit here in the room. Do you know that? We're trading bodies. We're, you know, we're flipping... We're passing molecules back and forth between each other. So the bodies are in a constant state of flux. The body you have now is not the same body you had 10 minutes ago. You see, it's a different body. So actually you're reincarnating it every minute. The body is never the same. It's a constant state of flux. But the fact that we can remember our previous experiences shows the body is the same. I mean, excuse me, the driver or the witness is the same, but the body is constantly changing. Now, of course, if they're not really interested to hear anything, they just want to defeat you, then they won't, you know, penetrate their meat-eating head. But if there's actually, you know, sincere to learn, they're open-minded, they're really philosophical, then you can explain this to them and they'll understand. The purport says spiritual world 75% and material world 25%. We understand Krishna and his abode is unlimited. How to understand that the entire creation is 75% when it is unlimited and ever expanding? It's very simple. What is 1/4 of infinity? Infinity. So the material world is unlimited, the spiritual world is unlimited, but it's a bigger unlimited. How that is so is inconceivable, but it's a bigger unlimited. Similar concept, the Lord's name is unlimited. How to understand the three names of Vishnu, one name of Ram and one name of Krishna is 1,000 names of Ram. Thing is, this stuff, you know, we're talking trying to intellectually grasp things, you see, but when you actually become realized and you experience it. So if you can't understand something, just try to become more Krishna conscious and then everything will become understood clearly. Teisham satata yukta nam badatam pitti purvakam tadami buddhiyolam tam. You see, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding how to come to me. Is it okay to play lectures in the background while chanting? No. No, don't. You don't need to play. If you want to play something in the background, you can put Prabhupada's japa tape on in the background. You don't need to put a lecture on because you're bored with the chanting. You have to hear a lecture in the background and keep from falling asleep while you're chanting your japa. No, stand up and chant them. You have to learn how to get a taste for the name. If you don't have a taste for the name, how are you going to make any advancement? You have to develop a taste for Krishna's name. There's unlimited rasa, unlimited sweetness in the name of Krishna. So do yourself a favor and develop a relationship with the name. Don't keep trying to put your consciousness somewhere else because you can't stand chanting Hare Krishna for more than 5 minutes. You do yourself a favor, learn how to fall in love with the name by associating with the name as much as you can, with full attention. These days, devotees are having so many health issues, despite vegetarian diet, with chanting and reading activity taking 2.5 to 3 hours every day on top of working activities for grahasthas. Is it okay to walk and chant to get some exercise? You have to get onto a vigorous walk. Otherwise, there's no time for exercise. It's already get up at 4:35 a.m. and sleep at 10 p.m. Well, it depends on you. I mean, Prabhupada did walk and chant. He would pace in his room. It depends on how you're walking, I guess you could say. If you're going out, if you're on your walk, you're totally absorbed in the things you're experiencing on the walk, you know, and your mind is not going on the job, but that's not very good. You know, you're walking down the street, checking everything out, and your mind is not all on the rounds. That's not very good. Huh? Tell me?
Radar
jump. You know radar jump? Like a radar, the, you know, the radar thing is like Hare Krishna, 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 you know, radar jump. If it's absolutely nothing you could do, I would do it, but I would walk in a place that's, you know, like down the beach or something where there's not a lot of, I wouldn't walk down a city street. I would walk in a park or a place where there's not, you know, it's very peaceful and there's nothing, no distractions. You know, walk around the block in the early morning when there's nothing happening in your neighborhood, that could be okay. But not in an area where you have to, there's unlimited distractions. What is the importance of shaving your hair as a baby and as an adult? This shaved head is part of the Vaishnava culture. And if one can do it, one should do it, because it helps you to be Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada was asked about this on a TV interview in San Francisco. He said it's a matter of cleanliness. It's very clean. And say, well, what do you mean it's clean? I shampoo. I mean, how you can say. But actually, once you shave up, then you know what Prabhupada means. Because when you shave up, it feels so clean. It's just, there's no, even after you shampoo and you have hair, it just doesn't feel the same as a shaved head. When you have a shaved head, you know what it really means to feel clean with a shaved head. It's like there's no comparison. It's very clean. And you'll know what I mean when you shave up. It's so wonderful. Once you get shaved up, you want to stay shaved up for life. That's my experience. I had to grow my hair out to get a job, and I hated it. I just couldn't stand it. But what you sometimes you have to, you know, because in the workplace, what some devotees do now, being completely shaved is considered fashionable. They just shave completely. Some devotees, because they can't, you can't wear a sikha. But in the old days, you couldn't shave at all. If anybody had a bald head, immediately, that's a Hare Krishna. But now it's very fashionable for men to have shaved heads, and actually even having a sikha is a fashion now amongst karmis. In America, you go to a barber shop and ask for a temple cut. It's cool to have a sikha. A shaved head with a sikha is cool. So if you can get away with it, do it. I mean, it's really cool. Shaved head and a sikha. It's really cool. It feels good. It's really nice. I mean, there's nothing like it. You can do it, do it. Could you please help me understand some questions? How is it people outside, non-devotees, sometimes seem to enjoy more than the devotees? Seem to enjoy. Their enjoyment is artificial. It's like somebody on drugs. You know, they're thinking they're happy, but actually they're becoming more and more degraded and more miserable. It's an artificial sense of enjoyment. It's not real enjoyment. It's happiness in the mode of passion, which is very stimulating and titillating in the beginning, but turns to very, very bitter poison in the end. So if you see they're enjoying more than you, you can say, oh, they're having happiness in the mode of passion, and it will degrade and turn into ignorance very soon, into misery. As I'm progressing in Krishna consciousness, I'm making more devotee friends. But I still have most of my friends who are not devotees. Is that okay? No, you should make them into devotees. Are there social divisions in the spiritual world? caste system then, Varnashram system. Actually, everybody's, there are different things that the devotees, the divisions in the spiritual world are five buses. You have devotees in neutrality, devotees in servitude, and devotees in friendship, devotees in parental mood, and devotees in conjugal mood. Those are the five divisions of the spiritual world. How to engage our parents in Krishna consciousness? Well, you have to see what you can get them to do. Take them prasadam. My parents are not very favorable, which stops me to advance. Please help. Well, that this is a very personal thing. It depends. Are you living with your parents? This is would require very specific sort of analysis of their particular situation that I can't really do this time.
But Prabhupada says external situation cannot stop anybody from becoming a devotee.
That's a very good point. Your happiness does not depend on your external situation. You say, well, I can't be Krishna conscious because my parents don't encourage me to be Krishna conscious. You have to understand your Krishna consciousness has nothing to do with your external situations. It has to do with your own internal determination. So don't blame your parents that they're holding you back from advancing. You are holding yourself back from advancing. Nothing can stop one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness. How to impose my consciousness, or improve my consciousness while performing any service to Krishna? Throw some mantras in. If you're sweeping the floor and your mind is spacing out, I don't feel like sweeping the floor. Instead of spacing out and thinking you don't want to sweep the floor, do some chanting while you're sweeping the floor. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And you'll taste the bliss. You go, wow, I get to sweep the floor for Krishna, Ki Jai. You see? Can you please explain the picture behind you? This is one of the most wonderful paintings from the old days in ISKCON, from the BBT painting. It's so wonderful, pastime. You can read it in Krishna book. Balaram is angry at Jamuna. You can read the pastime there. It's very wonderful. What level of strictness should I follow when I visit my family back in India? Are you pushing me to do what they do? No onions, no garlic, only prasadam. Don't give in. We were talking to maybe he's here today. Gaurav is here? Yeah. We were talking with Gaurav last night about this. Let's say you go to your parents' house and they say, okay, you know, we eat onions and garlic, so you have to eat onions and garlic. And if you're our son, you will eat onions and garlic with us. If you're our son. So, what to do with them? Well, the thing is, you have to understand, they're very attached to you. They don't want to lose you or association. They're very, very attached to you. So you say, well, you know, it's stated in the Manu Smriti that one should not eat onions and garlic. It's forbidden in the scriptures to eat this. And I'm trying to awaken my love of God now, so I'm not doing that anymore. But if you find that it's too much of a disturbance, I don't, you know, I just won't come here anymore to see you. But if you're willing to tolerate it, then I'd rather you tolerate my not taking onions and garlic because I love you and I want to be with you. But if you find it, if it disturbs you too much, I just won't come back anymore. And ask them to decide whether you should come back. But you should keep coming and not eat onions and garlic, you know, or you give them the choice. Would you rather I not come, ever see you ever again? Or you'd rather be, you know, you give them a choice. You take the strong position because they're attached to you. So you say, I love you, Mom and Dad, but, you know, they're forbidden. These are forbidden in the scriptures. And I'm trying to awaken love of God. So it's your choice now, whether you want me to come or whether I shouldn't come anymore. Can I come without onions and garlic eating? Or should I not come anymore? What is your decision, Mom and Dad? Let them decide. That's one thing you can do. What do you think they'll say? Yeah, get out of here. No, all right, we'll make some things for you without onions and garlic. In fact, my wife had an experience. You want me to tell her? She was she had a brother who was who went off to UK to go to medical school, but he got in great difficulty there financially. So he got a little help to get through medical school with the help by joining, maybe becoming a Christian. The Christians helped him out financially, whatever he needed. They helped him get, and so he came back as a Christian, eating meat. You see? A meat-eating Christian. So he married also a lady of a similar bend, an Indian lady who was also, so they're eating meat. They're meat eaters. And so my wife was visiting from the U.S. here in Australia, in Sydney.
Passing through,
yeah, on a visit, passing through. So my wife didn't want to stay with them because they eat meat, so she was going to stay at the temple. They said, oh no, we want you to come and stay with us. They said, I cannot stay anywhere where there is meat. I said, okay, we'll get rid of the meat. And actually she went there and cooked prasadam, showed him how to offer it, and they written, this is so wonderful, they never took the meat back, and now they're initiated as ISKCON devotees. But my wife didn't bend. She took a strong position, and because they were attached to her, they said, okay, we'd rather have you than the meat. So in the same way, we'd rather have you. You are more important to us than onions and garlic. Mom and Dad, what is more important, onions and garlic or meat? What do you want more? If you had your choice, onions and garlic or meat, which one would you take? Well, we'd rather get rid of you and just have onions and garlic. They wouldn't say that. You see what I'm saying? In this way, you have to show some strength, and you'll bless them. Even if a devotee would happen, what would happen to me? I keep doubting myself, keep degrading myself, keep remembering my past, allow my past to ruin my present, push my loved ones away from me, no confidence. It's good to actually remembering the past is good if you remember what an idiot I was in the past. To regret your past is very good. It's recommended to regret one's past. And to think how fortunate I am that I've gotten the mercy of Prabhupada and the devotees. How fortunate I am, you see. So in this way, you should take advantage of those things that happened in the past, and to strengthen your present position in Krishna consciousness. How did you come to the Hare Krishna movement? What inspired you? Well, I finally realized after many years of searching on the pathway of self-discovery, I finally realized that you just have to do what God wants. Forget what you want. It's just nonsense. You have to do what God wants you to do, and that's perfection of spiritual life. I finally realized that after many years of intense struggle, you have to do what God wants you to do. So, what does God want me to do? Prabhupada answered that question. That's why I'm here. How did you stay in ISKCON despite the fall of dozens of gurus? Well, I have an obligation. Just like even my married life, many devotees get divorces, you see. But my parents never got a divorce, and they were Christians. So how I could show that Christianity is better than Krishna consciousness. So I understood no matter what happens, no matter whether I like the marriage, whether I hate it, it doesn't matter. I have a duty to stick with this marriage. So in the same way, I have a duty to stick with my spiritual master, no matter what may happen. I have a duty to, I have taken the responsibility, I have like about 170 disciples all over the world. I have this duty and obligation to them. And, you know, if I gave up Krishna consciousness, it's like taking a knife and stabbing them, you see. How could I do something so cruel? Even if I'm completely miserable in Krishna consciousness, I can't stand it anymore. I'm just thinking theoretically, I love it. But I'm just saying, even if I hated it, I can't stand chanting Hare Krishna. I can't stand doing this stuff. I just hate ISKCON. I can't stand any of this stuff. I just want out of here. No, but still I have to do it because I take this responsibility of the disciple, you see. I still have, of course, it's not like that. I love this movement. ISKCON is sweeter than the sweetest honey, as far as I'm concerned. I'm doing an arti at home, but I want to do arti in the temple. So how can I do arti in the temple? Become initiated, and then become second initiated as Brahmana, and then you can do arti in the temple. Maybe you can do Tulsi arti. They have that. Something like that in the beginning. Without second initiation, depending on the local policies. How can an initiated devotee redeem herself after falling down? You just got to pick yourself up. If a kid's learning how to walk and he falls down, what's the rectification? Get up and try again. So let's say you fell down. All right, well just pick yourself up again. That's all. A devotee masturbates a few times after initiation, quickly learns what triggers the lust and avoids it. Deep down they are angry at themselves for it, but they pledged hard to pick it up and honor the vows. It's, no, you can pick yourself up. Api chatsudara charo bhajate mammananya bhak sadhare shizam nijap samya vega daho samya. So even if you fall down, you masturbate, you have illicit sex, just if you pick yourself up, oh, I've done a great wrong thing, how stupid I was to do this. Just pick yourself up and again follow the principles and Krishna will say, you are a saint. How to become free from envy and lust? I answered that last night. Let's take some movement here. We're going, way over time. Oh, my goodness. What's the cutoff?
9:15.
9:15. Oh, okay. We're okay then. If anyone's questions are not answered, they should contact your email. Okay. So I am available on email. If your question didn't get asked or didn't get answered, you can write me, go to SDA, that's like easy to remember. I'm Sankarshan Das Adhikari. So my email address is my initials, SDA, Sankarshan Das Adhikari at backtohome.com. It's like back to home, back to Godhead, you see. It's a really cool email address. SDA at backtohome.com. Better than Gmail. SDA at backtohome.com. And if you're not to check out my e-course, you just go to backtohome.com and you can get on my free e-course and get some nectar every day in your email. Okay. I have the tendency to take devotees for granted with whom I associate regularly. Yes, we have a tendency to do that and we have to beat our head with shoes, our mind with shoes to overcome that. Just imagine that you were stranded on a desert island somewhere and you had absolutely no association. But then somehow or other you found one other devotee there and it was like you got your life back. Actually, to be without devotee association is death. It's like being dead. And to have devotee association, even the association of one devotee, is getting your life back again. You have to realize that is how vital a devotee's association is. I remember years ago I was going to do a tour of the temples of South India, and I was all lined up, and one other brahmachari was going to come with me. It's going to be really nectarian, you know, going to all the holy places, you know, to Trichy, to Rameshwaram, so many places. We were looking forward, really excited. Then the last minute, he backed out. So I said, well, I'll just go alone. But it was miserable. You know, going to the holy places, you have no one to share your realizations with, your experience. I didn't like it. And I really saw how important it is to have devotee association. Because without devotee association, there's no one to, you know, share your ecstasy with. Because the non-devotees can't understand. They can't understand the feelings of devotee. So actually, a devotee's association is a very important thing. We should never take it lightly. I am fully convinced that meat eating is a sin. How should I convince my parents? That's a tough one. That's a very tough thing. I would introduce them to prasadam and let them get a taste for prasadam. That will purify their intelligence. Let them get a taste for kirtan. Let them get a taste for the darshan of the deities. Let them get purified, and then gradually you can convince them. Somebody is addicted to eating meat. I mean, they just think you're a nut if you tell them it's sin. They think you're some kind of a kook. How can I fight against killing cows in slaughterhouses? Distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. As much as possible. Flood the world with Prabhupada's books. That's how we can close the slaughterhouses as soon as possible. I have many non-devotee friends who are not keen in hearing about Krishna consciousness. I don't want to lose them, and I don't want to lose Krishna consciousness. You're too weak. You're really too weak. You shouldn't be so attached to non-devotees. Because you're attached to them, therefore you don't have the power to actually bring them to Krishna consciousness. If you become detached, then you don't feel you really need them anymore. That detached, then you can actually act powerfully to bring them to Krishna consciousness. Would you please give some tips on devotee relationships? I gave a whole seminar night before that. The main thing is this. Remember this instruction from Krishna. He says, Yeme Bhakta, this is quoted in the Adi Purana. Yeme Bhakta Jana Parata, Name Bhakta Shtate Janaha. My dear Arjuna, son of Pritha, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee. So, if you don't have devotion to the devotees of Krishna, Krishna says, you are not my devotee. You don't love my devotees? Get out. You say, get out. So that's how important it is to love the devotees. So you have to remember that. Krishna wants me to love the devotees. He wants me to serve the devotees. He wants me to be devoted to the devotees. That's the only way I can show Krishna that I'm really devoted to Him. So with that in mind, serve the devotees as much as possible. If the term fake it until you make it is used, they have good relationships with the devotees. Is it recommended or would I be a pretender for doing that? Well, let's say you're angry at some devotee. You're really angry. Just want to, you know, say, oh, you're just a no good rascal. You really get angry. But you use your intelligence and you control your emotions, you see. You keep your external demeanor cool, even though inside you're like a volcano going on. That's not being artificial. That's being intelligent. That's being a gentleman. A gentleman controls his emotions. It's not artificial to control your emotions. See, dogs can't control their emotions. But a human being means he can control his emotions. He acts on the basis of intelligence, not on the basis of emotion. We know that meeting is sinful because you're killing animals. How to understand alcohol and gambling is sinful? Because they kill you. How important is it to speak Krishna Katha while associating with devotees? When I joined the ashram in Austin back in 71 with Vishnujan Swami and a few brahmacharis, there was a rule on the wall, no relative topics allowed. In the ashram, you weren't allowed to speak anything except Krishna Katha. That was the rule. And we were also told if you say, I think, you should go into the closet. So one day I did, I said, I think. Whoop. So I went to the closet. So actually, this is a very important thing, to speak Krishna Gita while associating with devotees. Much chitta man gita prana, bodhyantak paraspadam, katyantashtamam nityam, tasyantacha vamantacha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So what does that say? Would you like to be spiritually enlightened? Or do you want to be in the darkness of ignorance? Would you like to taste the bliss of Krishna consciousness in ever-increasing waves of ecstasy throughout your entire eternal existence? If the answer is yes, then you need to engage in Krishna Gita as much as possible. I remember I was on the what was called the traveling roadshow in those days, the Vishnujan Swami and Radhadamodar. And I had one godbrother there, his name Baba Bhuti Prabhu. He is not a very dear godbrother of mine. He is now departed. He pioneered in our Chennai temple and also in later on in our Assam temple. He pioneered preaching in those areas. And he's a great stalwart follower of Prabhupada. But when we were brahmacharis together, we decided that we wanted to, during prasadam, we wanted to just talk about Krishna very strictly. So that was our pact. We were Krishna Katha buddies, you see. Every time that prasadam, we get together and we would talk about Krishna. And it was a very nice relationship. And it made a very strong bond. And I never forgot that Baba Bhuti Prabhu, because we made that deal. We're just going to talk about Krishna. During prasadam, you and I will get together and we will just talk about Krishna. And it's very wonderful when you can make that program. With another devotee, you feel that relationship becomes very, very powerful, very sweet, and very sublime. But it's based on hearing and talking about Krishna. Our child, for that matter, most of the devotee children, goes to a normal karmi school. How do we, as devotees, parents, educate our child to refrain from sense gratification, which outside schools promote? Well, as I said before, homeschooling, either a school run by the devotees or homeschooling, are much better options. There's actually, I don't know the domain, but you can go to krishna.com, and I think it's Arudha Mataji. Yeah, Arudha Mataji has written a book, How to Homeschool Your Kids. If you can do it, do it. It's legal. I think it's legal in Australia too, isn't it? Do it. Sacrifice some, if you can get by on one income, but just the husband only working, then let the mother stay home and homeschool the kids. That's much better than sending them out to the slaughterhouse and having their brains polluted. Another thing is this, if they are going to go to public school, there's really no avoiding it. Then what you have to do, just like this boy here, he's a very good example. He's sitting, he comes right to the front. Is he running around and playing? No, he's sitting right in the front and he's hearing Bhagavatam. So teach your kids like this boy has been trained by. Who is the father? Is your father here? Mother? Where's the mother? Yes. Train your boy like this mother has trained her boy, you see. Before he goes to public school, he's learned to sit and hear and drink in the nectar with great relish. Even he chanted the mantra. He chanted the Bhagavatam. Did you notice he chanted the Bhagavatam verse this morning? Train your child like this before he ever hits public school, you see. That will put, if there's no option of public school, actually probably went to public school. Of course, it was much purer in those days in India. But train, if you, there's no other choice, train your child to sit and hear the classes. And from the very beginning, keep them in your lap. Let the child get a taste for Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita lecture from gurus, from senior devotees, etc. Let him get a taste for this stuff. Because then once he gets his taste, he won't be attracted. He'll look down on the money and education. Oh, yeah, there's some stupid karmis, but what do I have to do? I have to learn this stuff, so... But he'll understand, these people are not my teachers, not my real teachers, you see. But if you never let your kid develop a taste for sitting like this boy is and hearing Bhagavatam, he doesn't know how to sit and hear Bhagavatam, the first teacher he sits and hears from is a karmi, you're killing your own child. You're murdering your own child. You're murdering him. So you have to teach the kids to sit and hear the lecture so they can take Krishna Katha deep into their heart. That's the solution. And the other thing is no television. If you have a TV, go tomorrow, take it to the used store. Sell it. Get rid of it. Get rid of your television. You don't need a TV in your house. If you want to watch Krishna conscious videos, you can do it on your computer screen. Get the TV out of your house immediately. Don't murder your children. And replace the television with kirtan, Krishna book readings. Make the house a wonderful atmosphere where Krishna Katha is always going on. So that as soon as a child comes home, he's immediately absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Please solve the confusion between position of Krishna and Balaram. It is said that they are equal. Lord Ram and Lord Lakshman are also in the same category. Balaram is Krishna himself, so of course they're equal. But there's the original personality of Godhead and there's the integrated expansion. Balaram is an integrated expansion. Krishna emanates Balaram. Balaram does not emanate Krishna. You see, that's the difference. Can we approach the Krishna for material things like a better career? Sure. If you don't want to go back to Godhead. If you want to go back to Godhead, you should have one prayer only, Krishna, please give me bhakti. Please give me. I guarantee you this. If you beg Krishna for material career, you're not going to get that great of a career. But if you beg him for bhakti, and career is not that important to you as bhakti is, yogi career will give you a first class career. It's an insider secret, you see. Because Krishna says, Ananyashchinta yancho mam yejana priyapasate te shamnicha biyuktanam yogate mam bahamya. For those who worship me exclusively, see, they don't, well, I'll worship Krishna, I'll worship you 50%, in my career I'll worship 50%. No. He says, those who worship me with exclusive devotion, Krishna, I don't care about my career. I don't care about anything except I want to love you and that's my only desire. That's, if you take that mood, Krishna will personally arrange everything for you, your career, your house, everything. He'll arrange everything for you. But if you think, well, no, I want this, and I want that, and I want this, and that, all right, Krishna may give you those things, but you won't get Krishna. And you won't be satisfied.
He will give only what you deserve. What one deserves, he will give only what one deserves.
You get what you deserve karmically. If you want to be on the platform of material enjoyment, you will get only what you deserve according to your karma. That's all you're going to get. But if you fully surrender to Krishna, then you're no longer under karma chakra, and Krishna will give you whatever is favorable for your Krishna consciousness and whatever is favorable for you to spread this Krishna consciousness movement to the suffering souls of this world. How can I choose my spiritual master? Because every time when I hear a lecture from any ISKCON Swami or Sannyasi, they are all geniuses. It's hard to choose one of them. Please help me out. This question I've asked so many times, I've thought about it a lot over the years. And the best answer that I've come up with to try to be helpful to devotees is this. Rupa Goswami says, Adau garashvayam sadharma prishcha. He says that your first duty is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And then you must inquire from him how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So you have to see wherever you get the best facility. Because all the ISKCON gurus are wonderful, but from which guru will I get the best facility to ask questions and get answers, you see? Because you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to inquire from your spiritual master. That's the instruction. Sadharma prichcha. Rupa Goswami says you're supposed to inquire from the spiritual master how to advance. So where do you have the best facility to do that? That's where I recommend you take Diksha. Huh?
Prabhupada said where you can fully surrender.
Okay. Yeah, where you can fully give your surrender and your faith. The fact is that the spiritual master order, one has to accept it as one's life and soul. So you have to see who is that guru who I can fully accept his instructions as my very life and soul for all of eternity. Where is a guru where I can put that much faith in him? You see, that's a really good point. Our parents gave birth to us. They raised us, spent a lot of money to our education, suffered also when I failed from exam and took all pain in their heart, whatever I was suffering. Now they become old. Is it not our moral duty to take care of the parents, thinking they are God to me as I came into this world due to them, and I should worship them? I have not been able to respect and serve my parents as anger was my main issue. I have not been much successful in that also. Now I want to take care of parents. I am chanting 20 rounds daily and came into Krishna consciousness 6 months ago. How can I control my anger and take care of my parents? What does it really mean to take care of them? Take care of their bodies? Is that taking care? If you really love your parents and you need to bring your anger under control and make them Krishna conscious. That's what you have to do if you really want to take care of them. Make them Krishna conscious. Okay, we're down to the last three. What does Balabha mean? Do you know? Some of the local devotees know. I just don't offhand know. Balabha. The Radha Balabha. The enjoyer?
Huh?
Huh? Someone here must know Balabha. Your deities are Radha Balabha. One who takes pleasure. Okay, that's good. And what is Namabhas? Oh, yeah, they're talking about, Namabhas. That's what they're asking about. There's three stages of chanting. There's Namaparada, Shuddhanam, and Namabhas. Namabhas is the clearing stage. In other words, in the beginning, our chanting is full of offenses. But when you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, you take this process very seriously to clean the dirt out of your heart, then you enter into a stage called the clearing stage, or Namabhas. This pure name has not appeared yet, but it's on the verge of appearing. Just like when the sun comes up in the morning, at a certain point the sun disk manifests on the eastern horizon. But before that, even before the sun disk manifests, there's brightness coming. So that's the Namabha stage. You're realizing I'm the spirit soul, I'm not this body, I have to serve Krishna. You see? You're not fully awakened yet, but yet you've got the seed of spiritual awakening now fully planted in your heart, and you're cultivating it. So that's the Namabha stage. How to become free from envy? Don't become free from envy. Use envy in Krishna's service. Prabhupada taught me how to do that. If you're envious of a devotee, then that he's being so much appreciated by Krishna and Guru, then you should try harder so Guru and Krishna will appreciate you also. And lust, you have to reverse engineer lust and take it back to its original position of prema. Lust is nothing but transformed prema. When prema comes in contact with rajagun, it's transformed into lust. So you have to reverse engineer it by getting out of the contact of the rajagun. Get yourself in contact with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And that lust will go back to its original form of pure love. So we thank you all very, very much for all these wonderful questions and your wonderful hearing. Kindly take very seriously this process of Krishna consciousness. Don't take it as a hobby. Take it as your life's vocation. As the number one priority in your life is to awaken the Krishna consciousness within your heart. If you do so, you'll have a glorious life and you won't take birth again in this nasty place. You'll wake up in the pastimes of Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.